Today we're going to talk about medicine, common grace, and sufficiency. It's the goal of this hour to build a framework that we can use to deal with the ever-expanding number of labels in the DSM-5 that come to us with counselees. The question I hope to answer is which one of these labels actually represent disease and which ones are simply descriptions of inconvenient behavior or worse. When I started biblical counseling, I was mentored by Dr. Robert Smith, and one of the gifts he gave me was his understanding that just because psychiatry gives us a DSM-5 label of behavior and thinking and emotions doesn't mean that biblical counseling doesn't apply or that we should defer to people who are supposed to be more qualified experts. In fact, he would encourage us to look at the thinking behavior and the actions and wade in with the scriptures. One of the most important things that Doc taught me during that time was that I should not counsel according to labels. We should listen carefully to the counselee's description of the label, ask them what behavior, thinking, and feelings warranted them being labeled, and then take them to the scriptures. Above all, he told us to avoid getting into arguments with counselees about whether their label problems such as ADHD, ADD, ODD, DMDD, any of these things were actually real diseases. He said, don't argue with people about that. Instead, listen carefully to how they're thinking, acting, and how they feel, and then take them to the scriptures. At the same time, though, Doc would tell us not to dismiss what medical science, not science so-called, but what actual medical science has to say about counseling issues. As Doc would say, the Bible describes very well sinful fear and worry and tells us what to do about it. But at the same time, he said, it did not describe the physiology of the problem. Medicine has information about the physical processes that are involved in some of the problems our counselees struggle with, and it is valuable both to us and to them to be aware of what those processes are. As we look at information that comes from medicine, we need, of course, to see it through the lens of Scripture. I've often said in the last 25 years that my spot in biblical counseling is not to take medical science and try to mix it with Scripture in order to come out with something better that's more valuable in counseling. I don't see what I do as that at all. Instead, what I believe it is my spot in biblical counseling and medicine is to figure out where medicine fits in with the Scriptures, not trying to merge the two. As I've seen it, this process involves three important doctrines: common grace, sufficiency, and the noetic effect of sin. Let's start with sufficiency. My earliest encounter with the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture came in training 25 years ago for biblical counseling. If you ask most of us in biblical counseling today, which doctrine is most important to the process of biblical counseling, I suspect most of us would answer all of them. On the other hand, if you change the question just a little bit and ask me which doctrine is most attacked and misunderstood in biblical counseling, I would say the sufficiency of Scripture. You know, the first biblical passage that I encountered that informed me was, of course, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and I read out of the King James Version, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." I chose the King James Version not because I use it to read all the time, but it was the version that I grew up with reading. And when I hear 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3 in the back of my mind, it's saying all, not everything. And indeed, in the Greek text, it is pos, and it does mean all. And all is exactly what it means. So does this verse mean that we can go to its pages to find the technical readout for what's wrong with my engine in order to fix my Toyota Camry? Well, of course, the answer is no. there are those who would say that we in biblical counseling do the same thing when it comes to the emotions, thinking, and behavioral problems that are described in the DSM-5. We take a simplistic view of it, and we say that the Bible has sufficient information or has all the information that we need in order to deal with all of those problems. And they would criticize us and say that the Bible is really good for problems which are not very complicated, problems such as mild worry or mild depression. But when you get to difficult things, it's time to get someone who has more training and who's an expert in the field. And they would question whether or not we should be trying to help people with OCD or PTSD. Of course, my answer to that would be no. I think the scriptures have sufficient information for us to help all folks who are struggling with those kinds of problems. I think the one writer that helped clarify my thinking the most on the sufficiency of scripture was John Frame from RTS. And I'm going to read his quote because it really does help make sense out of what scripture is saying. Christians sometimes say that scripture is sufficient for religion or preaching or theology, but not for auto repairs, plumbing, animal husbandry, dentistry, and the like. I wish he'd put medicine in there. That is to miss an important point. Sufficiency in the present context is not sufficiency of specific information, but the sufficiency of divine words. Scripture contains all the divine words the plumber needs, all the divine words the theologian needs. So it is just as sufficient for plumbing as it is for theology. And in that sense, it is sufficient for science and ethics as well. And I would add, it's sufficient for medicine. So God gives us all the divine words that we need to face every challenge in life. That is different from specific words, and that's an important thing to keep in mind as we approach medical information in relationship to biblical counseling. Some good examples. There is, of course, the common strep throat. The Bible says nothing specific, as Frame would say, nothing specific, no specific words about strep throats. Jesus knew all about strep throats, but then he was God. But the rest of the population at that time of the writing of the New Testament knew nothing about strep throats. So the Bible does not give us specific direction about how to take care of strep throats. And to be honest with you, I've never seen a bunch of biblical counselors get into an argument about this, about whether or not the Bible gives us any specific direction. But I would submit to you that there are sufficient words. As Frame would tell us, we have all the divine words we need to deal with strep throats. And you might get a quizzical expression on your face. Why? What are the divine words? Well, the ones that are most relevant that I can think of are found in Mark chapter 2, and in particular, verse 17. Jesus is at dinner. He's just chosen his 12. Matthew is among them. He's a tax collector, and he has tax collecting friends and sinners, and he invites Jesus over to the house that evening for dinner, and he invites his tax collecting and sinning friends because he wants them to meet Jesus. And of course, the Pharisees go wild about it and declare that Jesus can't possibly be a good man or the Messiah because he's eating with tax collectors and sinners. And Christ's response was a statement that is a metaphor and is useful in the question about what are we supposed to do about strep throats. And he says, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners." It's a metaphor. And both sides of it are true. So here we have Jesus, the Son of God, speaking 2,000 years ago right into our ears and saying, "The sick need a physician." And so with the strep throat, we have all the words we need to deal with it well. We have the sufficient divine words to deal with it well. If you have a sore throat, you ought to go see your doctor and do what he tells you. As a physician, I can tell you that the Bible does not contain specific information on how to build an MRI machine, a brain scanner. But it does tell us and tells me all I need to know in order to use it in a godly, ethical, and honest manner. In comparison, the Bible does have specific words about how we, as God's children, should deal with sinful worry. Sinful worry has